Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Yes, we're ready again. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host Joe Truini, and we're ready to bring you the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. We've got a lot of great information to share with you. In this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about indoor air quality and, you know, all about the dust and the mold and other things that are inside your home. And now that we're going to be spending a lot more time inside the home during the colder months, we need to make sure that we're breathing the right kind of air. Also, a few tips on attic insulation. Man, you can, it's not a real sexy project, but boy, if you put money in your attic and add some insulation to it, you will get back your money better than just about any other home improvement project. We'll tell you a few tips on that. Also, basement areas. A lot of times during this time of the year, people start looking at that area below their home and say, you know what, that would make a great office or a recreation room or maybe a theater room. So we're going to tell you a few tips on some of the things you need to think about that. Also, almost every week we get something about ductwork and does it need to be cleaned? Do I have some problems with it? We have a couple of those issues we're going to tackle this week. Joe, what about that simple solution later in the hour?
Well, Danny, we've gotten a few calls lately on gaps that are appearing in laminate flooring and sometimes other types of floating floors. And the gaps aren't always between the long joint of the boards. Often it's between the ends, which is even more interesting. And so I've got a simple solution. I figured let's come up with a simple solution how to solve that problem.
Oh, everybody's going to be interested in hearing that, because that's one of those things when you work on some of the floors like that and, you know, maybe you didn't acclimate the wood enough and allow it to sit in the space for several days prior to the installation. Maybe it's a new construction situation where you don't have power or heating or ways to bring that humidity down. And man, that's a heartbreaking thing when you wake up the next day and go in there to see the project that you finished and you look and go, whoa, what happened overnight?
Yeah, that does happen. Yep.
It does happen with just about any kind of material, so we'll take a look at that. I'll tell you one thing, Joe and I are always doing projects, and Joe, I hadn't even, you know, set you up on this one and everything, but what are you working on? I know you're all just like me. You always got something on your list.
Yeah, I'm actually building a greenhouse for Popular Mechanics magazine. I just finished a chicken coop for them that is going to appear in the next issue. But it's a really interesting project. It's only 6 feet wide and 8 feet long, so you can fit it into almost any yard. And I'm building it, of course, to be very DIY friendly. And then I stained all the framework. It's all 2x4s. I stained everything this really nice dark green solid color stain prior to building this greenhouse, which is coming up. I have a photo shoot scheduled next week, I believe. And so I think it's going to look great. It's going to have a nice green frame with the clear plastic panels on the roof and on the sidewalls and the end walls, of course. So I'm really looking forward to finishing that up. And of course, you started your career building greenhouses, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot I told you about that. Yeah, I have built hundreds and hundreds of greenhouses.
I should have had Popular Mechanics call you. What are they calling me for?
That's right. I should have taken care of that assignment for you. Back when I first started my construction business, of course, the colder months and holidays and so forth were the slow times. But they were the busiest times for people with greenhouses. I can't tell you how many greenhouses I've delivered on Christmas Eve.
As a gift?
That someone's surprising their husband or wife and so forth. And I would build these 8x10 greenhouses delivered in your yard. I think they were like $375 with a storm door on the front and, you know, made out of fiberglass. And I had this little system that I could build them so fast and only needed like 8 or 9 2x4s to build the entire thing. So I would rip them down the middle. I built a lot of those things over the years. I can still smell that fiberglass of cutting all of that fiberglass. I hope it doesn't affect my health at any point. But I built a lot of those. And, you know, it's really kind of neat. I've gone in greenhouses before that are hydroponic greenhouses.
Right.
Middle of winter, it's cold, and you walk in that atmosphere and that high humidity and green, beautiful plants and tomatoes and everything growing everywhere. It's a pretty cool little environment, but like so many things, people have good intentions and they create a greenhouse, and then after a while they just lose interest in it, and then it turns into a terrible storage building because you don't you don't want to put a really store your lawnmower in there where water's dripping off the ceiling, you know.
Yeah, right. Although a good thing about turning it into a storage shed is you can look on the outside and find where everything is.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, there it is, way in the back.
You can see right through it. Yeah, you're no doubt about it. You know, one of the things I did recently around my home, of course, I've been here about a year and a half. You know, when you have an irrigation system, a sprinkler system in your yard, you know, you run over it with the lawnmower. Different things happen here and there. And it really is a good thing to manually turn on each station. I think I have 9 stations. And just turn them on,
right,
and then walk out and really look at where all of that's going. Because, you know, if you're watering properly, you're watering early in the morning where you may not even be awake or you're not paying attention to it. And you don't know where that water's going sometimes. And you might notice, like in our case, we noticed that some of the plants just were not doing very well. And I turned the sprinklers on. Well, that one head, for whatever reason, I imagine it's because we ran over it a few times with the lawnmower, just was not popping up, you know. But so many times those things might seem mysterious items in your yard, but really they're so simple. You can, you know, if you have one that breaks, it has a little arm on it. You usually can pull it right up out of the ground, disconnect it, take it to the store, get the exact one, and put it back in.
Right.
So it's really not that hard to make sure that water's going where it needs to go. Because, you know, concrete, it really doesn't need to be watered. You know, your driveway, nah, you don't need that.
And your neighbor's garden.
Yeah, and your fence. You had a wooden fence. You really don't want that water hitting it all the time.
Yeah, so how often do you drive by someone's property and water spraying everywhere but on the lawn?
Right out in the driveway.
Yeah,
or
on
right
the
out
street,
in the street.
In the sidewalk.
You know?
Yeah,
when I used to run a lot, I would see that all the time.
Right.
You would see, you know, the sprinklers, or sometimes you run through the sprinklers because they are, you know, spraying the sidewalk. So, you know, that's something that I did recently that I would encourage others to do that, you know, and they have that little bitty tool. It's kind of a T-shaped tool for adjusting sprinkler heads so that you can gauge right where they go, and gets a lot of them that you can even control the velocity on it and so forth. That's a great project to do, even though we're headed into the cooler months and so forth. You still want to make sure that irrigation system is working. And if you're in the really cold areas of the country, you need to figure out how to drain that, being able to drain it, blow it out with, you know, an air compressor so that you don't have any damage from the freeze and so forth. But that's one of the things I'm tackling. And then I'm buying all of the auto parts I need today, the tune-up kit and all that, my father's truck that I'm about to try to work on.
The truck?
Yeah, that's a 1967 Chevrolet and 6-cylinder with the 3 on the tree, old clutch.
Right.
I hadn't driven a clutch in a while. That'll be fun.
Not to mention a shifter on the column. When's the last time you
even saw that? This is the actual truck I learned how to drive in. Well, you know, I remember I was 8 years old sitting on my daddy's lap.
How old can you get a license in Alabama? 8 years old.
I can't wait. I just can't wait
to
crank that up and drive it around a little bit. And, you know, I'm not going to fancy it up or anything. I want it to look just like it did when my proud father drove it off the lot in 1967. So it'll be
my father never owned anything but Chevy trucks. He never
bought
a car. He bought a car for my mom, but he never actually owned a car. His last truck, I think, was a Dodge, but long after he retired, he was just puttering around with it. He didn't really need a truck, but
wife's not really one of those, you know, preppers or anything like that, but she likes to talk about the times when everything goes bad and what are we going to do, you know, in a kidding fashion.
Right.
And she says, you get that, I can't wait for you to get that truck going. I go, why are you worried about that? She goes, when all the other cars with their electronic chips are stuck in the driveway, we're going to be driving around in the Chevrolet truck. So, okay, only you could think of that like that. But you know, it's, and you know, you think about, you open your hood of your car now or truck, and you look in there, you can't even, you know, you can't even get your hands in there.
You can't
this
see the one, ground, that's for
yeah,
sure.
This one, you can crawl in and stand beside the engine
that's
while you're
right.
working on it. You know, no air conditioning and none of the fancy things like that. So
I remember dropping a wrench when I was working on my car when I was in high school, and
it
would just hit the driveway.
Right,
now you
exactly.
drop a wrench, you might as well sell the car because you're never going to find that wrench.
So, hey, if you're not, with me on my personal Facebook page, it's Danny Lipford Official Facebook page. Hey, why don't you join me today? Because you'll see a lot of the pictures of the truck and a lot of the other little projects that I'm doing around that I might be able to share with you a few things there. Hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. We've got a lot of things to share with you. We want you to be a part of it. You can call us anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Today's Homeowner Hotline is 800-946-4420. And also, we really appreciate all the wonderful emails we've gotten this week. We'd like to get an email from you. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/ask and send us any question, comment. Maybe you have a tip that we can share with our listeners all across the country, something that has worked well for you and it'll work well for them. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break and get this show started.
Here at the Home Depot, we want to help you do big, bigger, even epic. From small tools to earth-moving equipment, we've got your DIY covered, no matter how big or small. And at the Home Depot, you can rent and reserve online and pick up in-store. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, we're heard coast to coast on over 300 fantastic radio stations, just like this one, WMFC FM 99.3 in Monroeville, Alabama. Certainly appreciate everybody in and around the Monroeville area listening to us each and every week. And again, we want to hear from you. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. And if you'd like to send us an email, go ahead and send us one now. todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go to Ohio. Tracy's on the line with us. Tracy, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Hi, guys. I have a high-velocity AC unit with the air handler that's in the attic, and when I was inspecting the air intake filter that's in my ceiling, I noticed that there was black, either mold or mildew, in the tube that was going up into the handler. And I didn't know if this can be cleaned out, or do I have to replace that tube, and can I do it myself? So that's my question.
Okay. Well, you know that always if there's mold or mildew or any kind of residue like that, it's always a result of moisture being introduced onto that surface in some fashion. And it may be a little bit of a condensation issue that at some point maybe the humidity was too high in the house. A lot of times that happens when maybe you leave the door or a window open a little too long and humidity, you know, really gets into the house and it is pulled into that area because it's you know, return air, and it's pulling in, and that moisture can deposit there, and that can cause that. You can absolutely clean it as much, you know, take the filter out. If it's on the ceiling, of course, be real careful on that ladder. And then I would use a antimicrobial spray. It's available at home centers, paint centers, and so forth. And the reason I mention that is because a lot of people will immediately go to bleach. And even though bleach will clean it and, you know, you you'll remove it, it doesn't have any residual effect that will kind of hang in there and help battle the mold and mildew later on. And Joe, this is probably another use for our suggestion of oxygen bleach as well, don't you think?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Tracy. If you're going to use bleach, we'd always recommend oxygen bleach, which comes in a powder and you mix it in warm water so it dissolves. It's usually one part bleach, three parts water. And the good thing about oxygen bleach as opposed to chlorine bleach is it doesn't evaporate as quickly, so it kills the mold spores much longer, much deeper into the surface. And plus, if you get any on your carpet or on your clothes, it's not going to stain the clothes. And if that doesn't work, you can always go to they do make commercial mold cleaners. There's a company called Zep. ZEP. Mm-hmm. They make a whole lot of different cleaning products, but they make one specifically called Liquid Mold Remover, and it's pretty affordable. I think $3 or $4 for a whole quart of the stuff. So if the bleach doesn't work, I would try a commercial product.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you for being part of the show, and I'm sure that'll work out. And we're going to spend a lot more time inside over the months ahead, so you want to get rid of all of that mold and mildew that might be floating around your house. But you have a great weekend, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a lot of things. So we're talking about the indoor air quality issues that a lot of homes have. Now's a really good time to look around your home. And, you know, if you are having any mold or mildew problems anywhere in your house, go ahead and tackle them right now. Also, consider, think about how long has it been since you changed that air filter. Make sure that you, in your furnace, you want to make sure that you have a good fresh filter, a good quality filter, because that's what we call your first line of defense. When all of that air moving through that filter, it can catch a lot of allergens, you can catch a lot of viruses, you can catch a lot of different things going through that filter that you can stop before it's distributed through the rest of the house. So that's one thing. And really take a close look on that aisle in the home center of the different filters, because there's some really interesting high-quality filters. You have some that have charcoal in them that helps a lot on odors, if you have maybe some pet odors around the house and so forth. And also the electrostatic filters do a great job in ridding your home of all of these things that can affect the quality of air you're breathing, as well as the longevity of your heating system. So it's a win-win for everybody to take care of that. Hey, let's jump on the emails here. We'd love to get one from you. todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one, this is about air conditioning here too. This came from Rod. My home is extremely dusty. I have a brand new AC unit, and through the attic AC ductwork is the original from 1959. So the air conditioning unit's new AC ductwork is from 1959. I had the ductwork cleaned about 6 months ago. It didn't help at all. Also, when the AC unit was installed, they left a 6x12 opening to the attic. They said that the AC unit required the vent for air. The attic has blown-in insulation, and would new ductwork solve the problem, and should I close up the opening? Well, Joe, I suspect the opening that Rod's talking about is probably he has a gas furnace that's part of this air conditioning system.
Right,
and they require that little bit of air exchange now between the attic and that particular space. So I think that's probably what he's talking about, is just that air exchange, and no, you shouldn't cover that up. That is needed and required by code. But I'll tell you what, it's quite a bit of work for somebody to replace ductwork. But I think he might have gotten his money's worth out of the ductwork.
You think?
And, you know, you putting a brand new system in. I mean, we've had a lot of controversy about duct cleaning and so forth. But situation like this, I think he would benefit in a lot of different ways, not only cleaner air, less dust in the home, better indoor air quality, as well as probably that air conditioner is going to work a lot better if you don't have any kind of debris in the ductwork. I think it'd be a good idea for Rod to get a couple estimates from some AC pros about replacing that ductwork.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't replace all the ductwork, if he just seals and insulates the ductwork right in the attic itself. That old ductwork, I'm sure it's leaking and it's sucking in all kinds of dust. And plus, he mentioned that he has blown in insulation. It could be sucking that up and blowing it through
That's true.
House. If you're saying there's lots of dust, and you certainly don't want to be breathing that. So I would, and we always recommend not only insulating ductwork, but also sealing it, meaning where the joints are between each piece of ductwork, you put a mastic, which is like a very thick paste it, brush it on, and then you could put tape over that, and then you insulate it. Because if you just insulate it, there's still it could still suck air through. The insulation is not supposed to be used as a, to seal the ducts, make them airtight. So I think I would at least do that just in the attic area that's exposed to this blown-in insulation and any other dust that's coming up through this hole in the ceiling, and see if that makes a difference.
You know, that's another, that's a great thing. Again, great time of the year to look at your ductwork. You know, I forgot the statistics. It's something like 35% of every home in the United States has leaky ductwork. Now, you never, you know, make it a habit of inspecting that, but it would be a really good idea whether your ductwork is in your attic or under your house, if it's accessible at all, turn your system on. Let it be blowing air through that ductwork, and then just follow each of the ducts to the different rooms and so forth. Kind of put your hand around it a little bit just to see if you find any leaks whatsoever. And as Joe mentioned, it's so simple to use the foil back tape to wrap around any of those problem areas, and then you coat over it with the duct mastic. Just take an old paintbrush and, you know, just cover that up. It's that easy. You really don't have to have a pro to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if you got there and found that you're maybe heating or air conditioning your attic space or your crawl space under there, and maybe you've been doing that for years, wasting a lot of money. That is a very inexpensive way. You know, you're probably talking about maybe spending $15 to do an entire house with the duct. The foil tape as well as the duct mastic. So well worth it and a great project. Not a real fun project, but one that could actually give you a lot of satisfaction in saving a lot of money. Those are some of those things that you just don't think about. Again, want to remind you about the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. Or if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that at todayshomeowner.com. Hey, coming up, we're still got a lot of mosquitoes and insects floating around the house. I've got a way with one little system that you can eliminate the insects and mosquitoes for up to a half acre around your home. I'll tell you about it and a whole lot more coming up here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, people like me who love the outdoors are always looking for a better way to protect themselves from mosquitoes and other aggravating flying insects. But, you know, I really don't like the chemicals or, you know, hearing these like bug lights zapping them every few seconds. So I was very pleased to find this UV insect and mosquito trap from Dynatrap, because it works without chemicals or zapping. It uses a UV light to attract the insects and carbon dioxide, just like what we breathe out, that's irresistible to mosquitoes. Then a powerful but quiet vacuum fan sucks the insects into a retaining cage where they dehydrate and die. The trap is effective against mosquitoes, moths, yellow jackets, wasps, hornets, and flies, and the UV LED bulb lasts up to 3,000 hours. The trap protects up to half an acre after a few weeks for it to really have an impact. So it takes just a little while for it to really start being effective. So if you want to get that protection without any pesticides or zapping, you need to give this a try. Head on over to HomeDepot.com to get yours today. Again, it's called the Dynatrap UV Half Acre Insect and Mosquito Trap, available at HomeDepot.com. That'll certainly help considerably and be able to help you with any little problem that you might be having with insects. There's all kinds of ways of doing that. But, you know, Joe, I never have like the spraying, you know, that poison on your skin or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know, because
yeah.
you're breathing. I mean, you're breathing it. It's you're touching it with your hands. It just seems ridiculous.
And this is particularly a problem this time of year. I don't know if it's just here. This is the middle of October. I live in Connecticut. We almost never have mosquitoes much past, you know, maybe halfway through September if it's a really soggy summer. But it's been so much rain, even here in Connecticut and everywhere, I guess, in most parts of the country, that we still have mosquitoes, you know, and it's getting down into the upper 40s.
Wow.
But the mosquitoes come back out during the day, and it's just little tiny black ones are almost impossible to even see.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I know I was staying at a home on a little small island just off of Maine.
Right.
And the friends I was with were saying, you know, hey, we need to, you know, get back in, you know. And I go, what's about to happen? Like, you don't want to be out there, you know, around when the sun's going down, because we have some pretty, you know, aggressive mosquitoes and everything. I go, no. I'm from the South. We have aggressive mosquitoes. Well, I was wrong. Their mosquitoes would take ours any day, because it was just amazing how it's almost like someone let them out of a cage, and they just, it was terrible. And
wow, yeah.
You know, so yeah, I heeded that warning and headed on back inside. So.
Yeah, mosquitoes who survive Maine are pretty hardy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
As are the people.
That's exactly right. Hey, let's get another email in here. We'll get another phone call coming in real soon. This one comes in from Nebraska. How can I repair an aluminum awning that has pinholes in it, and it's also sagging in a few spots? You know, I wonder, you know, if, of course, it says it's an aluminum awning. You know, a lot of the old metal awnings will, you know, have a little bit of rust and get
rust,
the pinholes.
Right,
but I
yeah.
wonder what would cause a pinhole in an aluminum awning, because generally, you know, that's going to last and last and last. But I guess, you know, you could carefully caulk that, maybe even use a silicone to prevent that. But on, you know, sagging in spots, that gets a little trickier, you know, to kind of shore that up without having
right.
to add an additional brace.
Yeah, she says it's aluminum, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's metal, and the little pinholes are caused by rust. If it is rust, or even if it's not, I guess what you could do is sand it really well on both sides. Maybe apply a little Bondo, a thin layer of Bondo. Maybe that would seal them up, and then prime it and paint it. And yeah, and if it's sagging, then, you know, I mean, you have to just replace whatever supports it has now. First check to make sure the screws haven't rusted and pulled through wherever they're screwed into. And they usually have some kind of diagonal bracing that may have pulled loose or is bent badly. So you'd have to replace it. But I can't tell you the last time I repaired an aluminum awning. Are people still putting up aluminum awnings? Yeah.
I have removed an awful lot of them.
Right, removed. Yeah, it's like wallpaper.
Yeah,
we get very
right.
few calls on how to put up wallpaper.
Right,
we get a
exactly.
lot of how to remove. So I think I might suggest, you know, if she really uses this awning, remove it and get a carpenter to come in with some really nice skills to build a beautiful little wooden, you know, awning, for lack of a better word, a little extension that comes out. You know, put wood shingles on it or whatever, and, you know, make little braces out of wood. It would be a lot more attractive and a lot more durable.
Well, we recently did on one of our Today's Homeowner Television episodes, we were doing a curb appeal. Well, we do a lot of curb appeal projects, because that's always very satisfying when you can really change the look of a home. And there's so many very simple, subtle things that you can do. Well, this particular house was in pretty good shape, but it had these striped awnings.
Right.
The dark, you know, forest green and burgundy striped awnings.
Oh, wow.
And the lady there was, she's the homeowner. She was pretty funny. She said, she says, I really want to get rid of the awnings, but they have been very beneficial in me telling people, yeah, just go down the road and look for a house that looks like a hot dog stand. And so we called them the hot dog stand awnings, which the more you look at them, you go, yeah, I've kind of would like one of those hot dogs now. But so we took those off. I mean, they didn't need it. I mean, you know, maybe it provided a little bit of shade, but she had curtains, so it wasn't a problem. We took those off and then built some really nice wooden shutters with a little bit of, cedar. So we had a little bit of texture on that. And then we actually painted the bricks. But, you know, everybody seems to be painting bricks now.
Right.
And one of the things I would caution people about, you need to do a little reading on that, because If you put regular latex paint on there, what you're doing is you're trapping that moisture behind those bricks because it cannot breathe through the coating that the latex paint provides. But we used a masonry type paint that's designed for that, that actually is one coat. We painted the entire house in slightly over a day using a sprayer.
Right.
And it looked fantastic. And then she came back and she just took the paint off here and there of a few of the bricks for the accent. And it just looked amazing. You can find that episode by going to todayshomeowner.com and just, put in on the search engine there, curb appeal. You'll find several shows, including this one. But boy, it just turned out great.
Yeah, and if you had painted the shutters burgundy and green, she could still say,
"I know, she could
my,
still sell
the house
hot dog.
That looks like a hot dog
stand." I know.
Yeah.
Well, in her comment on the show, she says, "Well, I'm no longer will tell people that it's the hot dog stand house. I'm going to tell people it's the best looking house on the block."
There you
so,
go.
You know, and it was. It was absolutely beautiful. Made a big, big statement like that. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. So glad you're with us. We've got a lot more information to share with you. So we don't want to go anywhere. We're going to tell you all about how you could really save some money by spending just a little bit of money in your attic on some insulation. It's easier than you think. We'll share with you some ideas is here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust TiteBond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, TiteBond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. TiteBond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit TiteBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And welcome back to the show, the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad you're with us. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. And right now, we're going to head right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline and encourage you to give us a call anytime, 800-946-4420. That's what Brian in New Jersey did. Brian, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
So with the cold weather coming, and I know you guys always talk about the importance of insulating your attic. Mm-hmm. I figured I'm going to put some layers up there. I have about 8 inches of fiberglass insulation mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if I should. I know that there's the fiberglass, and I also know there's mineral wool.
Right.
And I wasn't sure which one's better or if I can mix and match the two or should I just stick with fiberglass.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you called and asked that because we have a lot of people that ponder that same scenario. You know, you might have blown insulation. Do you have to put blown back on? You know, different kinds of combinations. Some of the advantages and disadvantages, mineral wool, I really like because it's so easy to work with. It doesn't irritate your skin in any way. It's real easy to cut around any pipes or wires that you might encounter as you're installing it. And yes, it can work in conjunction with fiberglass. There's a lot of advantages from that standpoint. Now, it is a little more expensive. I don't know, Joe, what did we discover that time? It was about 20 or 30% more, isn't it?
I'm not sure the percentage, but Brian, I think we found that it cost between like 60 and 70 cents a square foot for fiberglass and a little over a dollar ten for rock wool, mineral wool, but that was a while ago. And these days, I don't know what anything's cost.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
seems like it changes weekly. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know if it's.
But
going
it does.
Down
it is a significant difference if you're doing an entire house. You're doing just an attic, so I'm not sure. You know, maybe it'll cost you 20% more.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is effective. And then, you know, other advantage of it, it's fire resistant, it's mold and mildew resistant. So it has a lot of advantages on that. What I would do is measure that footage that you have there, the footage in your attic, and then just get a price on both the mineral wool and the fiberglass. And but one of the things you do need to remember is no paper on the insulation, none of the craft facing on that. You want it to be unfaced when you're putting it down on there. And a lot of times what I would recommend is run it perpendicular to your ceiling joist, completely opposite of the direction that your insulation is running now. That seems to kind of tighten up the blanket a little bit more.
Okay, that's great. Hey, Danny, can I just mention one thing before I get off?
Sure, of course.
I saw Joe on the History Channel's Machines That Built America, the power tool segment, and I thought it was fascinating how it shed light on the beginning of the DIY era.
DIY, right? Yeah.
DIY, yeah.
Look at his head swelling up right now, boys. He's going to be hard to deal with the rest of the show now.
So. I'm gonna have to grease up the door jams to get my head through. Yeah, Brian. Well, thank you very much. The History Channel does a great job with those series. And what Brian's referring to, Danny, is that Black and Decker. This is going back. I don't even remember when. Now, probably in the 40s. Black and Decker was making tools, specifically their drill, the first pistol grip drill for factories.
Uh-huh.
And the guys who owned the factories realized the tools were disappearing, and they kept reordering drills. And Black and Decker. Alonzo Decker, who was one of the founders, his son was fielding these calls. And he finally said, he called the factories and said, he thought the tools were breaking down because they kept reordering drills. He's like, why are they keep reordering drills? We just sent them a shipment. But it was because the homeowners, the people working there were taking them home to work on their house.
Putting them in their lunchbox, huh?
In their lunchbox. So yeah. He had the idea, Alonzo Decker's son had the idea of, listen, we got to make a smaller, more affordable drill for homeowners. And that launched the entire DIY industry as we know it today.
How about that?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Well, Brian, I'm glad you brought that up because Joe is a very modest individual and he won't mention some of these things he should be bragging about from time to time. So I'm glad you brought that up. We appreciate that.
All right, great. Have a nice day.
Okay, you as well. Hope we can help you again. Take care. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, Joe, I remember you talking about that, you know, that was coming up for you, but I didn't know that had already taken place. So.
Yeah, it aired, I think, about a month ago. I think there were 10 or 12 episodes. It was called, this overall series was The Machines That Built America, and the episodes the episode I was in was called The Power Tools That Built America.
Oh,
and I'm sure it's, if you go to History Channel online, I'm sure you can probably track it down.
Oh, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Let me get one quick email in here from Sonia in Indiana. My husband and I use our basement as a workspace for projects around the home. And we have one of those horizontal storm cellar looking doors that lead in from the outside, but it's fallen apart. We really need that access. Want to replace it. Really don't know what to look for. Can you help? Well, first thing you want to do is to match the size of that opening, Sonia. And then you want to find one that's rugged enough to last. And that way you won't have to replace it very soon. And, you know, most of these doors are made of steel, and for those that you really, the ones that you really want, have a factory applied powder coat paint finish to keep that rust away. You know, some doors are made of high density polyurethane and designed to look like a wood plank door. You know, that's a really nice look, but more importantly, it's corrosive resistant. So the folks at Bilco Company offer both of these styles of doors, so that's a great place to start your search at Bilco.com. The doors also feature weathertight construction and engineering lift assistance, which makes the door a lot easier to operate and prevents it from slamming closed, which can really be a danger. There's also a great keyed lock kit for the doors, makes it a lot easier to unlock the door from the outside. And the company's been around for almost 100 years, so I think they know what they're doing by now. So check them out at Bilco.com. Hey, coming up, Joe's got another great simple solution for us, and we've got a lot more great home improvement information coming right at you when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at Checking In With Chelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Here at the Home Depot, we want to help you do big, bigger, even epic. From small tools to earth-moving equipment, we've got your DIY covered, no matter how big or small. And at the Home Depot, you can rent and reserve online and pick up in-store. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And welcome back to the show. So glad you're with us. Hope everything's going well around your home. What are you doing? You got a little project going, or you're out running a few errands? Whatever it is, we appreciate you always carrying us along with it. One of the things that everybody loves to hear is a simple solution. Joe, share another one with us, will you?
All right, Danny. If you've got a laminate floor, the planks will often separate at the end, so there's a joint where it's usually like 5 or 6 inches wide, where the gap will open up and dust and dirt will fall in there, and you know, and you won't be able to close it up. And plus, it doesn't look great. It doesn't happen throughout the whole floor. It usually happens here and there. But okay, so what do you do about it? The good thing is that these floors are not glued together, not glued down. They're typically known as a floating floor, meaning they just sit on the floor. They snap together, and they snap together pretty tightly, but still they're just sitting over a thin rubber underlayment. So there's nothing to prevent them from moving, which is why you get these gaps. So here's how you fix that. Take about a 12-inch, 14-inch long 2x4, and the underside, put on a piece of double-stick carpet tape. We talk about double-stick carpet tape all the time. If you don't have a roll, keep it in the house. You'd be surprised how often you'll use it. But anyway, you peel it off, stick it onto this 2x4, put the 2x4 on the plank that you want to move, and then stand on it with one foot and tap the end of the 2x4 with a hammer. You don't have to tap, you don't have to hit it hard, just tap it, and that will absolutely move. You know, and usually these gaps, by the way, are only maybe an eighth of an inch. We're not talking about, you don't have to move it a foot, right? It's only an eighth of an inch, maybe a little wider. And when you tap it, it'll close it up. Now, if you do that, if this happens against the wall, the other end will be hidden under the baseboard or the shoe molding, something like that. Obviously, if this is in the middle of the room and you tap it over, now you've created a gap on the other end, so you'll just have to continue to do that until you close up all the gaps. But that absolutely works, and it works for the exact reason that it's not glued down to the floor.
Boy, that's a great way of doing that without damaging the edge of the floor, because if you try to, you know, maybe put the 2x4 or 1x4 against, you know, the other end of that and tap it, you know, stand the chance of maybe affecting the top layer of that laminate. So,
and you can't, I forgot to mention, then you peel up, you know, the tape holds pretty well, but it'll peel up. Even if you use a little pry bar, just be careful, because the plastic laminate surface, you know, it's not porous at all. It's literally plastic laminate. So it will, and it won't damage it or anything. So that will eventually just, if you give it a little, pry it up a little bit, it'll pop right off.
Well, that's a great idea. And, you know, if you'd like to see some more great simple solutions, well over 500 of them are waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. You know, when you think about talking about putting tape on floors and all, I'd always caution people to be careful what you're, you know, when you're covering up your floor to use, you know, to, you know, put drop cloths down or put some cardboard down to protect it. That's a good idea, but make sure you use the right kind of tape. I had someone recently use some duct tape on the floors, and it stayed down there for a couple days while we were taping a show. When we came back, it was a hardwood floor, engineered hardwood floor, came back and peeled that tape up, and all of the finish came with it.
Oh, no.
It could not be refinished because it was a engineered floor that had already been refinished once. So $1,800 later, brand new floor was installed. So, yeah, so... And that employee no longer works for us. No, we didn't fire him for that, but I thought about it. But you had to be careful with that. Hey, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, hey, just head on over to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. And don't forget about the Today's Homeowner podcast. You can find out all about it at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.